And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Matrix, the program that asks you to get out of the box of convention and see the bigger picture. And we're going to be doing that tonight with Charles Maxwell Green, who I'll have on in a minute. But before I present him, I want to remind you about a few things in the news. Hey, you must be watching and hearing about the Texas lights. I'm going to be asking Charles about that tonight. Really amazing pictures coming out of the Texas UFO sightings. So even though I'm not a big fan of the news, at least not the standard news, I do recommend you get your hands on some of those images and see what's going on down in Texas. And once again, reminding you that the Syrian revelations are now have been picked up by North Atlantic Books, which means the good news is there'll be no more frustrated attempts of trying to find all three of the editions. So please tell your friends and start ordering the books. On for those of you who haven't already read all three, you can now get them on any website and hopefully in the bookstore soon. And that's my wrap on that. Don't forget my website is www.SyrianRevelations.net. And that's enough about that. Let's get on with meeting Charles Maxwell Green. Hiya, Charles. Thanks for being with me tonight.
I
guess
I am
it's today in your part of the world.
Yes, it is. It's about noon our time on the Pacific Coast, and I'm very excited to be on your show, and I'm a big fan. I've read all your books, and I just love them.
Thanks, Charles. I'm delighted for you to say that. I'm just reviewing some of your information I've got on hand here. It says that you kind of started to explode in 1969 with your work with meditation and following Sri Ramana Maharshi. Maharshi?
Yes, that's correct. And mm-hmm. also Paramahansa Yogananda and also
one of the great leaders of all time.
Yeah, I like to think of them as the big boys at that time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that they're still the big boys, really. I mean,
that's for sure.
We certainly have the influence in so many disciplines that we're following now. Really pure, pure teachings. And so you've gone on, you're a channel for Pleiadians and Bashar, which we're going to talk about tonight, and just, you know, combining 37 years of the wisdom of your yoga background and your new extraterrestrial contacts and just being in the fast lane of what's happening on this planet now, I think we're going to have a great show.
Oh, I hope so.
So, now, as I remember the first time you contacted me, let me make sure if I've got a good memory, was to talk to me about the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act of 2005. Is that right?
That's correct.
You were inviting me to participate and help out on this side of the Atlantic.
Yes, because it basically is a bill which wants to allow, acknowledge, approve, and coordinate contact between our citizens and extraterrestrials who have announced peaceful intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And so thus I was looking for, and our group basically is looking to involve as many people as we can from around the world, and it's actually been a vehicle for me to be in contact with some very interesting people in all kinds of different endeavors all over the planet.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that this organization is doing, because for sure, I mean, I really think that given, first personally given what I'm told from my sources and just experiencing and observing what's going on, I think it's pretty clear that contact is imminent. And when I say contact is imminent, I mean globally, because we certainly have contact on individual levels and channels, and it's just an amazing time to be here.
Yes,
that's
my take on it as well, that certainly the contact is imminent, and that in a sense, I kind of equate this to back in the days of Columbus, where Columbus kind of got credit for discovering America, but there's probably enough evidence around now to substantiate that other people were here first, but there was at least one significant public sort of event that will sort of designate this being official.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we talk about contact, we, as we refer to it now, I think what we're talking about is global, one big shot, global contact, where there is no question globally, and we potentially are talking about CNN saying, and coming in live, and us being confronted with it, what I don't like to use that word because it sounds negative, but saying being faced with unquestionable global contact. And I think it's very important that people start to think about what that's going to mean and how they're going to react, and this is why what you're doing is so important.
Well, it's one of the reasons that, of course, we started this project is that a lot of people are asking these types of questions, if in fact there's going to be contact, what's the procedure, what's going to happen, this kind of thing. So when a lot of people are thinking about this type of thing, then it only seems logical to sort of develop some sort of a formal protocol and establishment of some guidelines as to how, in fact, that might occur.
Especially when we're talking about governments that seem to only know how to use the non-diplomatic approach. And so, therefore, if the first welcome committee is going to be violent, it's going to be very important that the citizens of this planet are prepared to counteract whatever military response there is with the human reaction.
Yeah, and I think that's of course there are a number of reasons why our group was formulated, and one of those reasons reflects directly to that, because there was, for those people that aren't aware, there used to be an Extraterrestrial Exposure Act, and it was basically sort of a keep out sign. And one of the things that we wanted to do with our particular bill was to really emphasize the fact that we're really desiring of this type of contact, at least a lot of people are, and it's also in a very non-punitive way. We part of our protocols do deal specifically with how the extraterrestrials would be treated, and also relating to public rights that we have as citizens, and sort of a very positive take on that situation. I guess that for a lack of a better term, we want to sort of, you know, put out a more of a welcome sign. And for those that are kind of into the thinking of law of attraction, part of our purpose as well is by getting lots of people to support a positive bill, that we will be involved in creating that contact as well.
Excellent. So now, when you talk about this bill, exactly what are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about a bill that basically deals with some of the rights that we would have as citizens to interact and associate and communicate with extraterrestrial intelligences, the right to freely discuss and record and transcribe and communicate to others about these subjects, and to globally promote similar versions of this act, and to lobby for its adoption in other nations, and the ability for us to actually oversee and conduct the relationship and set up a protocol for how that takes place. So there was a lot of expertise and a lot of really amazing people were involved in the committee that helped to bring this bill about. And of course now it's gone to a state where it's now been put into legal terminology, with maintaining the original ideas that were incorporated into the thinking of this particular bill. And then at some point, obviously, this would be presented to Congress, and someone would need to sponsor this particular act.
And how soon are you going to do that, given the time constraints that are upon us?
Well, I guess the time constraints that in terms of if there are any, that we're dealing with is that when this particular idea came about, we started working on this in 2005, we finally have now formulated the bill. It's been to the legal people and put into that type of, you know, knowledge that, or wording, let's say, that would be required from that perspective. And then there has been now formed an extraterrestrial contact association, which actually Daryl Anka, and for those who read Bashar's books, Daryl is a channel for Bashar, and he is the president of that particular group that would act as an agency. And this agency now is involved with basically spreading the word about the act and its information. And of course, for those people who want to see an actual copy of it, they can see that at www.bashar.org. And
okay, and that's actually great. That was my next question. So let's just
so they can
reiterate that.
It.
It's, okay, could you just give them the address again, please?
Okay, it's www.bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R.org. And the actual bill itself is on the website, as well as some of the theory about, you know, who might want to be involved with assisting with, you know, this kind of information. Because, you know, you don't really need to even believe in extraterrestrials in order to support this type of a bill. I mean, we have all sorts of people from all over the world who basically just feel like, you know, if and when this situation comes about, there should be some sort of a protocol and a procedure in place to deal with it. And to be honest, I don't spend any energy whatsoever trying to convince people in the existence of extraterrestrials. My perspective on that is that when and if there is a public contact, that will solve that issue. And in the interim,
agreed. Real fast.
It's kind of a waste of energy. To me, the real thrill in this whole thing is the tremendous amount of self-empowering information that's being already channeled to the planet through channels and extraterrestrial information. It's just a wealth of information out there with respect to self-empowerment. And of course, the bonuses would be, you know, after there would be such a public contact. But I mean, I don't spend any energy, you know, trying to convince people at all. I mean, everybody's belief is equally valid in my view, and we're basically trying to pass legislation that just makes common sense. Although I must admit that almost everybody, to a person, that you know, took part in the creation of this type of a document, is certainly more along the lines of believing in that contact is imminent and fairly soon.
Well, if you see any of the polls, because, I mean, who's to even recognize who does what polls anymore? But pretty much across the board, they say that about 80% of the people on the planet believe in extraterrestrial life. And whether or not they believe that there's going to be contact, it's probably lower than that. But I think we are definitely moving past the blind ignorance of years past and closed minds to the possibility of life beyond this planet. And in fact, so many people are understanding that, let us hope there is, because there seems to be, there surely are other planets that have evolved to a higher understanding of our role in the cosmos than we seem to be doing here on planet Earth. This leads to another question, which is, so a lot of people, yes, do believe that contact is imminent, and there's a lot of fear of how will we know if these are positive or destructive beings? And I'd like you to discuss that with me. How do you feel about that? And
well,
go ahead.
My take on that would be that, just from a philosophical point of view, I don't believe that any event has built-in meaning. In other words, you know, one man's meat's another man's poison, and certain events that to one person would be the most exciting thing that's ever happened, it may be fearful to someone else. So I suspect there will be, you know, of course, different takes on that type of a scenario, and there's certainly always a certain element of fear of the unknown. However, one of the things that is part of our protocol is that we have a really strong focus on contact with an extraterrestrial that have established themselves as expressing peaceful intentions, and that that their intelligence poses no biological danger or other sort of unintended threat or harm to the Earth. Now, of course, you can't necessarily you know, someone could come in and say that they're, you know, have peaceful intent and not. But I liken this to kind of a situation where you're living in the country somewhere sort of isolated, and you know you have neighbors 5 miles away, you've never met them, but I mean, are you they're there already, are you going to meet them or not, and then make up your mind as to whether you want to associate further. So, you know, I think there's going to be a certain anxiety about an excitement and everything else about potential contact with extraterrestrials. But I personally, you know, look on the bright side, like the amazing awe and wonder of such an event and the sort of communion that would take place among the people on the planet. Not to mention, I think that Earth in many respects has been almost symbolic of an orphan where we really would probably be given a clearer or objective viewpoint of our past, our history on this planet, as well as our link and lineage to terrestrial life, not to mention things like advancements in probable curing disease, limited energy, extraterrestrial or interstellar space travel. All these kinds of things are just, you know, to me the positives are just boggling.
To me too. And of course, working with the Syrian High Council, who are extra dimensional beings, they do, like, I'm sure Bashar is also extra dimensional, not from another planet, but from another dimension, correct?
Exactly. And you know, and just to mention a little bit about Bashar, because another one of the reasons that we were involved in this project was a communication that Bashar made through Daryl. Just for those that are kind of interested in, you know, Bashar, where he's coming from, a lot of the people in North America right now are totally enamored with the show The Secret. I mean, half of my friends are saying, oh, have you seen The Secret? Have you seen The Secret? And basically The Secret deals with the law of attraction and the concept that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions and intentions create our outer experience, much as a reflection in a mirror. And these sort of concepts now have taken hold, which is very heartening from my perspective, because it's sort of, to me, they kind of go hand in hand, this type of thinking with extraterrestrial intelligence. And I think it'd be interesting to note that people aren't aware of this, but this new wave, sort of the thing kind of going around right now, Bashar was talking about this and explained all the concepts in that particular program 23 years ago. So the people that have been following Bashar have been picking up from there and have kind of advanced 23 years since. And my suggestion to anybody is that if they have an open mind and want to really get tapped into some of the highest information that's available on the planet today, and there's lots of sources, but certainly Bashar is one. And I just love Daryl's approach about Bashar, because Daryl, like my perspective on trying to convince people of extraterrestrials, he never tries to convince anybody that he's actually channeling an extraterrestrial. He makes it clear that this is how the scenario is being presented, but basically, it's called listen to the information. Can you make use of this information, and can this information help you, with no focus whatsoever? And if you can't use it, you can't use it, and you move on, and whatever you need to know, you'll pick up somewhere else.
Most definitely. I think that as we see people opening to these kinds of sources, you know, if we can go past even the Bashar information, go back to even Seth, Jane Roberts' eloquent channel for Seth, who the universal information has come through at many points in human development. It's just that now enough people are able to perceive it that we can really understand how we can change the unconscious of the entirety, which is what we're working on now, which is so exciting at this incredible time when we're about to, I believe, ascend out of this dimension.
Yeah, and I love the Seth material as well. In fact, Barbara Marciniak and a lot of her channeling of the Pleiadians, I like to equate in the sort of late 60s, 70s, that Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, I consider to be the classic yogic text. And in this New Age era, of course, your books are among the ones I recommend as well, but I like one in particular, I think, is the classic for this era, which was Bringers of the Dawn, which came out about
Absolutely.
The same time that Bashar started making information available as well.
Bringers of the Dawn is definitely a revolutionary work, and I really respect Barbara's work with that book. And I think that so many people really had just huge impact from that work to take us to where we are now. Now, I wanted to just get back to this project. What specifically is your role in this process?
Well, I think my role initially was I was just one of those people that Bashar had mentioned that there was a window of opportunity between about 2007 and 2012 for us to sort of express and or kind of reach out to an extraterrestrial contact, because the formal presentation to this point has been more negative. And so I was just thrilled to be part of a group that became an online group through Yahoo Internet services, and it's called the Extraterrestrial Contact Law Group. And all of the original communications are still there for public viewing. And I basically became part of this group just to kind of do my best to kind of help formulate this type of a build that to come into being. And then as the group sort of evolved, I sort of started taking, well, I guess, a larger and larger role, until it's at one point I sort of became I was the chairman of this particular group. So in terms of keeping everybody kind of on the same page and going over the things that we had agreed to, when sometimes new people come in and they aren't aware of what's already been established, that kind of a thing. And then eventually I did take a very active part in a lot of the initial wording. At this mm-hmm. point in time, I have a very passive role because, for one thing, I'm living in British Columbia and I'm a Canadian citizen, and the Contact Act per se that the association is working on is trying to pass this particular bill, get enough public support, signatures. There is an online internet place where you can sign on and support it if you're a citizen of the United States. So not being a citizen
now,
there.
What is that website?
That's still at the Bashar site. You can find everything you need there. Yeah. And it's kind of my not being a citizen of the U.S., I'm not actively involved in the political process. But at this point, I guess it's kind of interesting. People do phone me occasionally, and ask questions or email me and this kind of thing. And so I'm certainly open to talking about, this topic as I am today. And of course, I should put in a plug for my own website, which is at www.maxwellgreensite.com. And on that particular site, I basically try to make a one-stop shop for people that don't have the time to spend thousands of hours on the internet researching all kinds of fabulous information, where they can actually go to one place and try to optimize their immune system as well as optimize their personal self-empowerment. And this particular site's called Healing the Known and the Unknown.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk to us about monatomic gold? I know that you you do elaborate that on the site, right?
Well, in one of my ebooks, I do mention monatomics because a lot of people haven't heard of them. And
I'd like to talk about them because a lot of people haven't heard about them. And if you've listened to my show on other nights, I've been talking about some pretty amazing things going on with mineral supplements. I had Jim Humble on last week. Did you catch the show?
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to.
Because he's got pretty much a cure for malaria within 4 to 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing wonderful work.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And so I am personally very interested in monatomic gold, and I would love for you to talk about that from the point of it being available to us through food, as well as available in supplements, because a lot of people are playing around with this, and I'd like it to be clear what we're talking about. So
okay,
I think you know a lot about it.
Well, in a simplified form, monoatomics are basically high-spin electrons, and it's basically a new form of energy that's been discovered, and it was never available before. Before some of the latest experiments in quantum physics and with spectroscopic analysis. And basically, there's a guy named, I think it's Richard Hudson, who was actually the founder of this particular energy. And I do refer people to check out the Hudson websites and lectures, because that that's where you can get most of the information on this topic. In a nutshell, basically high-spin electrons, when they enter the body, they not only neutralize disease, they actually reprogram it. And it's just a phenomenal discovery. And the most phenomenal thing about it is that monoatomics are found in a lot of natural foods like kale, green vegetables, flaxseed oil, sea salt, carrots. The interesting thing about it is that we get a certain natural amount of some of the quantities of monoatomics by just following a vegetarian diet. However, there are also, a lack of a better term, synthetic forms of this called white powder gold. And white powder gold has been associated with, for lack of a better term, loosening the gears, providing some sorts of insights, spiritual insights, and helping with certain spiritual aspects. I mean, there are some phenomenal claims out there. My word of caution with respect to this particular avenue is that it's certainly not something that doesn't bear a lot of thought prior to, and I know a number of people have come to me because they've had certain problems with certain diseases such as even cancer, for example. In monoatomics have been used specifically rhodium and iridium are main components in curing of a lot of different types of cancers. And my understanding is the latest public release on that is that certain types of configurations of rhodium and iridium have been okayed by the Federal Drug Administration for use with certain types of animals. They haven't been okayed for humans yet. But I think, this is, certainly going to be in the near future because there's a complete whole field here of potential healing that can come from monoatomics. Now, again, Bashar's name kind of comes up because he has answered a number of questions around this particular subject. And I know, for example, that there are certain people that when they do have interviews with him through Daryl, and that's in Los Angeles, through the website you can actually make appointments to get personal interviews. And if you have such a disease that is, quote-unquote uncurable, and if there's a possibility that monoatomics may be of assistance, Bashar is the only one person I know that can tell you what quantities and what types to take. So that's about what I know, in a nutshell about monoatomics. It's a phenomenal discovery with huge implications with respect to healing. And of course, you can get a lot of natural amounts of this just in the vegetarian diet.
Hopefully more and more people are following. I'm a vegetarian for 20 years now, and I do really try to help people understand how important it is to make the shift. But, of course, it's up to each individual to make that decision.
Exactly, and I would concur with that. And in addition to that, we're finding that the world is becoming so toxic with respect to the water, the air, mercury, levels, fluorides in water, toxicities in the air. Not only that, but in North America, the pesticides and the chemicals that are even on the fruits and vegetables are creating such an issue that my understanding or some of the research is that 3 to 5% of people's immune systems are eroding yearly. So, that's pretty alarming. And I would say that, it's a huge benefit for anyone if they're at all possible, to eat as much organic, foods as there are. And, in addition to that, I think it's, someone who really cares about you and your health should be telling you to do a thorough detoxification from, head to colon once a year. And there is a site. I have nothing to do financially with this particular group, but it's the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. They do produce, I think, a fabulous sets of how to get yourself detoxed in a really kind of fun way. A lot of people go, oh, gee, a detox. Well, it's not like sticking a rubber hose in your ear, but this is the natural kind of fun ways to detox yourself. And as well, they also provide the proper nutrients. And what Bashar has been saying for a long time is with a thorough detoxification and with the proper nutrients added to this, your body is an amazing healing machine, that miracles are the norm. He's basically saying that 90% of all physical ailments will disappear just from a thorough, and I mean thorough detox. We're talking about liver, kidney, colon, prostate, brain, the whole nine yards, mm-hmm. plus the supplemental nutrients that are found in a product that the American Botanical Pharmacy also sells, which is called Superfood. And a combination of this has produced amazing results.
Well, there are a number of really remarkable possibilities now, and I don't necessarily endorse any one specific one. For example, Jim Humble, his mineral, it's called mineral, oh God, I'm sorry, it's MMS, and at the moment it's a multi-mineral supplement that he recommends, that not officially it's a solution for water purification, but he claims some pretty heavy stuff. We had him on last week. He was a remarkable guest. He's down in Africa. He's healed 75,000 people of malaria with two shots of this stuff, two drinks of it, within 4 to 8 hours. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
and he's gone on to say that it clears the body of pretty much all parasites. So whatever the road people choose to do this, I think it's pretty clear that it's really time that we find that which we resonate with and take care of doing cleansing now.
Yeah, because, you know, to me, it's like, you know, people don't think anything about changing the oil in their engine of their car. You know, that's a certain expense that takes place and a certain kind of maintenance. Well, you know, 40 years ago, it really didn't matter so much, probably, with respect to this toxicity. But in today's age, like you say, it doesn't matter where you go get your information, where you or what kind of products. But as you start moving in that direction, I think you're going to really see a big difference in your health.
Of course, never forgetting that you've got to get your mind detoxed as well, and that you are capable of doing it all with your mind if you have the ability to focus to that exquisite point where you simply change the dynamics of your own body chemistry. But in the meantime, we've got these tools. Let's use them.
Exactly.
So would you like to, can you tell us again about the Botanical Society? I would like to investigate that.
Well, I'm just mentioning that Dr. Schultz is the person that runs the American Botanical Pharmacy, and the reason that I got tuned into him was through Bashar, because Bashar doesn't plug anybody. Like, he's never mentioned any particular source for products in any way, shape, or form.
Right, and neither do I. This is a format which is getting more information.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, he recommended it, and I've been sort of, you know, I guess I started a few years ago starting to do this type of thing, because I sort of put it off, and I knew that, you know, I guess most of the things I heard about it, you know, all seemed like kind of a pain in the butt, frankly, and I just didn't
no
want to get around. Yeah, really.
and
you know what? I just love them now. I can't wait to do like I do a once a year everything, and I just love doing it. It's just I find it exciting. I know what it's doing for my body. I know what it's doing for my energy, and I think that's the attitude to have an excitement about doing these kinds of things, because it's only going to bring about good results.
Absolutely. And let me just say again that we're talking with Charles Maxwell Green. We're talking about kind of everything from extraterrestrial contact to clearing out the body and UFO arriving, and just a really good evening here on Beyond the Matrix. Charles, what's your website again?
My website's at www.maxwell, as in Maxwell House Coffee, Maxwell Green as in the color, site.com.
So wonderful that we have the net. Let's hope we get to keep it going. All right, I'd like to now go back to conversations back on my favorite subject, which is extraterrestrial, extra-dimensional contact, and ask you, have you been following what's going on in Texas? And that's the first question. The second question is, what do you make of the fact that the mainstream media is finally talking quite a lot about what's going on in the skies?
Well, I guess the latter point about why the mainstream media is talking more about what's going on in the skies is because there's a lot more going on in the skies, or at least that we're aware of, and more people have the technology with their video cameras, et cetera, to get some really amazing pictures and photos, and clearly the numbers and amounts are increasing exponentially. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that at some point there's just no hiding it. That's from
right, but it's more than not hiding it. We're getting a real, a real thrust here, and I just can't help but feel that it's basically the mandate's been given, okay, disclosure time is upon us.
Well, I think that's a fair comment. And disclosure is another, word that comes up in terms of, where the Extraterrestrial Contact Act relates to the exposure, because there's a certain overlap of interest there. I guess where the Extraterrestrial Contact Act philosophy is more, we're not political other than in trying to pass a political bill. We're not political with respect to being anti or, I guess philosophically where I'm at with anti is we have too many programs that are anti-this and anti-that, and from my perspective, when you're anti something, the energy that you use to invalidate it or to suppress it only helps to perpetuate its existence. I don't want to be anti anything. I want to be for something positive. So with respect to our act, we're creating a new energy. And that's, I think, the biggest difference between us and disclosure people. Now, with respect to UFO sightings, generally, the word that I sort of get through Bashar information is that the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights, which many people had a very spiritual experience watching, and you can see some pictures of this on YouTube, but the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights apparently was a craft that was wedge-shaped and about a mile in length that hovered over Phoenix for several hours. And according to Bashar, he indicated that the beings on that particular craft will be the ones that we will eventually have first contact with. So in that respect, from his perspective, they're already here. Now, in terms of timeline, when are we going to see this kind of thing? When's public contact going to take place? Bashar has indicated that Earth is actually under quarantine until 2012. A lot of people say, well, in quarantine by who, from whom? Well, according to him, from the Association of Worlds, who is actually in control of this sector of space. And that doesn't mean that the day after 2012 is over that there's going to be, immediate contact, but as he reads the energy now, he says that we're on schedule for about 2015 for there being a public open contact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, take it for what it's worth. That's what Bashar is saying.
Well, the lights in Texas were also a triangle, right?
I'm going to say that my access to a computer is limited to, and I heard about this event, and I can't wait to get back to access to a computer to see what exactly is going on there with respect.
Oh, you don't know about Texas?
I know about it just from word of mouth, but I haven't seen any of the things, and I don't know really much about it at all, other than the fact that I know that there's been some amazing sightings there.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure. Now, what I'm going to do now is open up for questions from listeners, but I'm pretty sure this was also a triangle, also more than a mile wide, and I've seen pictures of the string of lights very similar to Phoenix. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up to callers. If you have any information you want to share with Charles and me, or if you want to ask questions, the toll-free number for the States, 877-876-5227. Let me give you it again, 877-876-5227. And the toll-free number for Canada, 888-815-9756. So if you're listening in, if you know about the recent lights in Texas, anything you want to talk about, please come on in and share your feelings and thoughts with us. in this discussion of what lies ahead for the human race. Not only the human race, all of life on our planet is going to be affected by this. Yeah, apparently the Texas episode was absolutely similar to Phoenix, and I've seen the lights, the same string effect and shifting of these lights in their positions. Very exciting. And the thing is that more and more people, as you said, are seeing them, and we're getting footage now. But more than just the media not being able to ignore it anymore, I definitely get information that disclosure time is upon us. I love the distinction you made between disclosure and welcoming, by the way. But I don't refer to the disclosure project. I just refer to the fact that it is time now, the time is upon us, to embrace the reality and soon the beings. And that is a very exciting prospect for humankind.
Yeah, I think, you know, the most exciting time to ever be on this planet.
Yeah, definitely. And always remembering for people that are in fear that you chose to be here. You made the soul-level decision to come in for this. So whenever you get into fear or powerlessness, remember that you knew what you were doing well before you were born into this reality.
Yeah, I mean, we all need different types of experiences, and I'm sure that you know, we all need to deal with that particular issue in one way or another, being being part of the history that we've gone through.
So, just as much as you can make it simplistic, which we know it's not, what does your basic person who's listening now to you, to us, what do we tell them about basically the protocols of what will happen? What will they be asked to do, or what will they be able to do when overhead they see, either personally overhead or on the screen, the media, fleets of craft coming in? What are the protocols that you speak of?
Well, I think that certainly there's we're making every attempt to see that people in power make every reasonable effort to establish the contact with those extraterrestrial intelligences and to confirm in some kind of a timely manner their peaceful intentions, and that such intelligence poses no biological or any other types of threats. And then upon confirmation...
Yeah, hold on a minute, Charles. We've got a question.
Okay.
Hold on a minute, Charles. We've got a caller. Who's calling, please?
This is Mary from Colorado Springs.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Well, first I wanted to let you know there's a drawing of the sighting in Texas on Linda Moulton Ho's site, earthfiles.com.
Earthfiles.com?
Yeah, www.earthfiles.com.
Okay, great.
And it doesn't show the entire craft, but it looks like it's really huge. So I can't tell what the shape of it is, but it kind of shows the underside of it, which is quite interesting. And
she declares having seen it, having been able to actually see the craft.
Pardon?
On the website, she talks about having seen it personally.
No, she got the information from one of the people and the drawing from one of the people who watched it for quite some time.
Okay, great. And do you have any more information about it that you can share with us
some
now?
Some channelings that I get from, you know, from people from Ashtar and Saint Germain and many other people, one of them recently said that we would have contact around the end of this year.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I just wondered where your guest got his information about first contact.
He's getting his information from Bashar, which is also a channeled ET entity.
Okay. All right. Thank
you very
much.
I think it's very important that we not get so hung up on the exact timing of this.
Right.
But rather we get prepared emotionally and spiritually for what this is going to do, what this is going to mean, how we're going to react as individuals,
right,
and how many people we can assist in helping move out of fear.
Right,
and
yes,
prepare
yes.
on a very high level for what this is going to mean. So as we get closer to 2012, there's a lot of speculation. All these different channeled voices are giving us more estimations of when this is coming. I would just say that here we are. We're just hours away from 2012,
mm-hmm.
and I think that we don't need to split hairs here. I think 2012
right.
is a very, very important time.
From what I've been reading is that they are working diligently behind the scenes on a lot of things as well. You know,
absolutely.
they're working, you know, with us and working on the planet and working on a lot of other aspects that we're not even aware of that they're doing.
Yeah, and remember, too, that we have so much expectation and anticipation of what 2012 is going to mean that we are also affecting that reality. We must
yes.
never give our power away to sources right. outside of ourselves.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Thanks for calling in, Mary, and
thank
thanks
you.
For listening
Bye-bye.
To Beyond the Matrix.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so with reference to your comment there about the power and giving up power, of course, one of the reasons that we have the extraterrestrial contact agency is to be the public view into processes that would take place. So part of the protocol that we're involved with would be immediately inform, once the government's aware of contact, to inform leaders of all the other nations and representative of the United Nations, the NSA and the ECA being the Extraterrestrial Contact Association, via this organization, and within 24 hours thereafter make a public globally televised interaction between the extraterrestrial intelligence, the president, representative of the United Nations, and to create reports containing all the details of contact and the progress of this type of contact, and to make it public. And that these reports are a matter of public record and available to the public upon request, and that progress with respect to any interaction be made available to the public within, say, every 6 months, that type of thing, are part of some of the protocols that are involved in this particular bill. And, of course, to safeguard also the safety of, you know, the rights of the extraterrestrials as well, in a, you know, taking care of them in a positive way so that we're not implying sort of hostility from our end. But
let me interrupt you a minute and ask you that, do you really think that this optimistic view of what governments will do is something that we can really bank on? I mean, do you really feel that the current administration would be more than willing to celebrate arrival of alien beings and share this with the world? I mean, aren't they the perfect new terrorists?
Well, I guess they'll have to put their own spin on whatever that particular contact is when and if that occurs. But I guess from our perspective, I guess what we're trying to do is pass a bill so that, in fact, it is law that this particular procedure take place.
Uh-huh.
And that does give the public sort of a view into the process, so that any contracts, for example, between extraterrestrials and government would be one of public record.
I also am guided that this contact will be so powerful that they won't need any of our. Someone asked me, do the council say that they will be able to communicate through our media? Will they have access? And the answer is they won't need permission to communicate through our media channels.
Probably not, but no doubt they would want our cooperation. And I think
if it was denied, they would be capable of communicating without it. For example, the Syrians say that we're going to see crop circles in the sky. And we're starting to see this now.
Speaking of the crop circles, I think they're another fantastic area that people, you know, that don't believe in extraterrestrials or even, you know, are in total denial of what's happening with respect to sightings. The crop circles are amazing evidence of sacred geometry and how this sacred geometry impacts on our consciousness and activating latent DNA. I wouldn't mind giving a plug for Janosch, J-A-N-O-S-H, Art, Sacred Geometry. And on his sites on the internet, you can actually see sort of color animated crop circles that you can use as meditations.
That's interesting. The Syrians say that we are going to, the part of the approach we're going to get is a number of crop circle type formations in lights in the sky. And these are going to be welcoming messages, and the point being that we're a fleet of craft planning to come in. They certainly wouldn't want to use a sort of military type formation where dom, 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 da dom, coming across the sky like we've seen depicted in so many films. And that we will be able to look forward to some pretty outrageous light shows where the craft are doing geometric formations, all with sacred geometry, all messages that have been, some of them have already been projected into the fields.
Mm-hmm. That sounds,
this is very
exciting. That sounds great to me, yeah. But yeah. I mean, I know when I first... When I first came across this concept of the crop circles, I just happened to see them, and I know there's something really special about these, and I didn't know anything about them, other than the fact they were beautiful shapes. And then eventually I found the Janosch site on the internet about the, as I was studying sacred geometry. And then when I basically now take a look at these from the standpoint of their impact on you personally and your genetic makeup at DNA especially, I just find they're just they're a natural meditation.
Have you been in them?
No, I haven't, and I'd love to. Actually, the last time I was in London, I was supposed to go to Stonehenge and go on a tour, and the tour was canceled, and it didn't happen, but I would love to.
Well, I'm bringing a group this July. It's a great little segue for that. The dates are firming up now. It will be a crop circle, the DNA workshop that I do. I'll have Jonathan Quinton with me, who is a master of sacred geometry. He'll be offering a day of that workshop, and we'll be going to the crop circles guided by the Syrians. We'll be going to the sacred sites. We'll have private time at Stonehenge. So maybe you can make it.
Super. I'd sure love to.
That would be fabulous. All right, Jonah, we're starting to already wind down on our time. It's amazing how quickly the hour is going. I'd like to invite you to leave us with some of your inner thoughts about what we've talked to tonight, and what's in store for the human race and our evolution out of this intense polarity.
Well, I guess if there's any thought that comes immediately to mind is with respect to your comment about evolution. I think that a large part about this contact and the timing of it has to do with us starting to see ourselves as more of as spiritual beings who are having an earthly existence, let's say, as opposed to earth beings that are have the occasional spiritual experience. And I think that the more that we can raise our own frequency and vibration to match theirs, that this will go a long way towards our own personal self-empowerment as well as communication with a whole community of civilizations that are out there.
The great galactic family, always remembering, as the council have told us, that our orphanage is about to end, and we're finally going to know what it means to be part of such a vast galactic family, so much love, so much light. And that whenever fear rises in your throat, remember, you've been programmed to fear the unknown, and it's been convenient to those who want the power for you to be in the unknown. But the time of that power is, despite illusions, ending, and we're coming into a time of incredible light for this planet. So on that note, I would like to thank Charles for a great hour. It really flew, didn't it?
No, it really did.
It's just amazing. It feels like we've only been chatting for 10 minutes, and we're just about wrapping it up here. Your site again, Charles?
Is www.maxwellgreensite.com.
And the site for Bashar and the information you want to, if you want to be involved with this organization, if you want to read the bill, if you want to find out more about what your process will be at the time of arrival. Don't forget www.bashar.org. That's right? .org,
that's
yeah?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Syrian information, www.syrianrevelations.net. I've got a new book I'm working on now, Where Pharaohs Dwell, and hopefully I'll have that out for you at the end of the year. That's it for tonight. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Matrix. We need more of people. Please tell your friends to open their hearts and their minds and join us for this hour where we get out of the box and into the free thinking zone. Thanks, Charles. I hope to have you back on later date.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Take care. Good night, everyone, and see you next week, Sunday, 12 o'clock California time. We'll be talking with the author of The Leap, really exciting book. So please join us and keep doing your good work. Good night, everyone.